Last week was Philippians. We started at 1 and 6 where God, having confidence, Paul's saying, I had confidence that what God has begun, he's going to finish. But what we didn't tell you is he's going to finish his position. Doesn't mean your fulfillment will be fulfilled. Because that's up to you. Say, it's up to me. This journey is up to you. And I don't care if you're married or single. I don't care the color of your skin. I don't care how big you are, how small you are. It's still going to be up to you. No one is getting away with what God is saying. And we proved it that we proved it in the book of Genesis that when he created man, right? When he created man, I didn't say woman first, but when he created man, it was very good. And what he began, he is going to finish. He loves his creation. We're his creation. Say amen. So this morning in part two, we're going to continue and go into John, the Gospel of John chapter 10, King James Version, I'll be reading from. But we're talking about an area because I want you to know, you're going to know this. You're going to know this scripture. You have heard it a million times. If you've been in church as long as we have memorized this and we talk about it, but most people don't recognize what the Word of God is saying because he's speaking to the church. Say the church. And who is the church this morning? If you don't know, you are who God is talking. Who is the bride? And let me ask you, there's a parable that I'm going to tell you. Go search out at the end. Who is the 10 virgins that you'll read in the Gospels? There's 10 virgins he talks about. Who are 10 virgins? It's you. Virgin doesn't mean like the filthy thinking we think. You know, it doesn't mean that female hasn't had any courses and she's kept herself. Yes, that does mean it in one sense. But when God says and brings it up in a parable for us, he's talking about us in the pureness that God puts upon us when we get saved. Say amen. So no matter what you were, no matter what you've done, when you come to Christ, he recreates you in a pureness, a holiness, a wholesomeness. Come on, help me here. And then he puts you on the journey. And then he lets you know, I'm going to be with you to the end. Never leave us, never to forsake us. Because I'm going to thank God he's never left us. The only time we ever call on him is when we need him. But I call on him just because I want to know that you're still with me. I don't care how good it is. I don't call you when I'm bad. When it's bad, I call you always. This is why I'm a fanatic, they say. I'm fanatical. I'm a fan of God, actually. So it makes me fanatical. Makes me who I am. I say good morning. I say good night. I'm talking to him all day long. Hello? Today, you know, you hear people talking, but they're with that earpiece. Come on. Say, are you talking to yourself? Because if I talk to myself, you think I'm crazy. But I'm never talking to myself. Hello? There's one that's speaking with me constantly because he loves to talk with his people. And what he's begun, he wants to complete, and I want to be completed. I want him to be able to say, well done, when the time comes. Enter in what? Faithful. Say faithful. Because he's faithful. Come on, your journey is what your journeys are, but oftentimes you have ended and will end up because of bad decision making. And not realizing where we're at because he is going to complete. And I want that completion. And I want to hear faithful servant. Not pastor, not husband, not dad, not grandparent, not uncle, not brother. Hello, somebody. But faithful servant. I want to hear our Father say, enter in to the joy. Say the joy. Of what? It's the Lord. So the Gospel of John is going to give us a hint today of what we're headed for what's necessary for accomplishment. Say accomplishment, because he's already accomplished. You and I already know one thing. We have 24 hours in one day. Come on. The world has taken it away through the working system. 8 hours. They took away one third away. How many know you have to work 8 hours, most likely, on a job? If you want the benefits too, right? You want to, you know, oftentimes we make decisions on positions because of, number one, how much am I going to get paid? Number two, what's my benefits? How many like benefits? You know, the Bible says, forget not God's benefits. How many know that you have benefits with God? How many know what your benefits are with God? Most of you say, well, I know some that he shall meet all my needs. You don't believe that. He shall meet all my needs. Say, oh, according to his riches and glory, not to your desires and wants. But you see, well, God, he's not faithful because, you know, I prayed and I didn't get it. That's because it's your fault. You didn't get it. You know, it's not God's fault. He can't give it to you because you can't handle it. God, you're royalty. People should be not bowing down to you in the respect that royalty will do in the royal status firm ways of life, but you're royalty. Royalty never begs for bread. Royalty never is concerned about not having. It's never in a place of lack. Royalty has all. Say amen. Royalty is not always respected, but is looked upon. You should be looked upon. Doesn't mean that everybody's going to respect you because jealousy, say jealousy. And you all fight jealousy. Jealousy is a form of fear. And that form of fear is because you're losing control. That's what jealousies are, losing something you don't control. God is the only one that can say it right. He's jealous for us. Why? Because he's losing control. Why? Because we're not paying attention. We're not hearing. We're not doing what God would have us. God has you to be the head, not the tail. I don't want to be in the tail because what's in the tail end? Come on, somebody. And you know, men, listen, men, right? That goes for women too. But you'll see the men, the male, female dogs, what are they always doing? What do they think they smell? What the heck's wrong with you, dogs? Come on, help me here, somebody. But, you know, what does God spell backward? And what did he talk about us? You're like a dog. You go to your vomit and you lick it all up. He says, don't be like that. Come on. I'm paraphrasing. In other words, see, you don't want to hear that part, but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to step on your toes today. I'm sorry. If you don't come back, I still love you. I'm sorry, but I know that this word will never come back void, and it's going to haunt you. It's going to haunt you to the day he calls you. Come on. And when he calls you, and this word has haunted you, and you haven't submitted to it, it's on you. Say amen. I'm going to do my job. Why? I want to hear faithful servant. I want to hear well done. I don't want to hear, well, why did you keep this? Because I was afraid of the people. I'll preach to one like I preach to 100, like I'll preach to 500, till I'll preach to 1,000. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that you hear what the Spirit is saying. And this morning right here, the Spirit is going to be talking to us in accomplishment of something you well know. And I want to talk to you because this is something that's vital. Verse number 10, most of us know this word that you've been in the church. Most of you have heard this that's been in the church. I pray that you have memorized this, being in the church. But today you're going to hear it in a different manner. Today, the 10th verse says it like this in the Gospel of John, King James Version. One more time. The thief. What? The thief comes not, but for to steal and to kill and destroy. I, the Lord speaking, am come that they, who's they? Whosoever that he's called. Come on. So don't be jealous, which you know is fear of losing something that you don't own. Come on. That they might have life and they might have it more. How many love abundant life? How many know what abundant life means? All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, help me with this word, Holy Spirit. I set myself aside. You be the voice speaking through me, Father. Let your anointing reach and the areas that are necessary, Father, and destroy the yokes, Father, that hinder us. Open our mindset, open our hearts as you open our ears to hear what your Spirit is going to say to every one of us because you do love us, Father. And you desire for us, Lord God, so much. But as a good God that you are, a good Father that you are, you're not forcing no one to do anything that's outside of their desires and will, Father. according to your will in them. And to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you the praise and the glory, and we call this word forth. Amen. And amen. How many know that what we want to talk about is a thief? We don't want to talk about what's stealing, what's killing and destroying. But who is the thief that God is talking about here? Who is this that Jesus is saying to his, he's talking to his disciples, be careful, because a thief is coming. Come on. And he's coming for one reason. Say one reason. And that reason is to do what God is not designed for it to be done to his people. Say his people. But what is it? A thief. How many of you know what a thief is? The Greek word is called kleptes. Say kleptes. Not klepto. Even though klepto will be coming forward, because klepto is in the is the word in Greek for steal or stealing. How many know what a klepto is? How many know what a kleptomaniac is? How many of you are kleptos? Come on, say amen. I'm going to tell you, a majority of God's churches, because they say it's not New Testament living, those that rob him from his tithes and offerings, he calls you a thief. He says, you're a thief. No matter how you justify it, klepto. And not only are you a klepto because you've designed yourself to believe, homie, I told you I'm going to step on your toes this morning. Not only have you designed, you try to justify every word that you believe in, but God still calls it a thief from taking what belongs to him. He's not going to force you. But I thank God that in Christianity, there are churches. I'm telling you, the Mormon church, you don't pay your tithes, you're kicked. Out. Go. And for you that don't know, for you that are not kleptos, you tithe off the top, not the bottom. What? You tithe off the top, not the bottom. It's not his fault that you live in a city that wants all your money, called state taxes, or country federal tax. Hello? Oh, so because you want Social Security? Or not the custom ways of CalPERS out there for other people in the federal government or city, state, ways of retirement? Hello? Or anything else, your 401s, your 403s, your 410s and 20s and 30s, it doesn't matter, right? You touch from the top, but he calls kleptos, that's thief. But who's the thief? Forget about the kleptos. Let's talk about the kleptos. Who's the thief? Everybody says it's Satan, and I got news for you. He's not the thief. Oh, Jesus, you're quiet. Help me, Holy Spirit. I'm gonna put some blinders on. I want to see you because your mad looks don't scare me. In fact, they want to challenge me. And I'll pull out my knife. I'll pull out my gun. I'm gonna beat you. And if I don't, I'm gonna call Manuel. Come on, say amen. And you don't want me to call my wife because when her lips start quivering, you in trouble, ladies. You are in trouble. And she's good with words. She gets me riled up. Hello. She just says one thing and my blood pressure rises. And there I go back to the hospital. Right? There I go. Come on, help me here. Kleptes, who's kleptes? And the Bible referred that it's you and I. We're the thieves that Jesus is talking about. Come on, help me here. I'm going to bring it in a way that's going to make sense. It makes sense. And we want to make sense that I make dollars. And dollars turn you into that abundant lifestyle that Jesus has promised. But he's telling us the thief is coming. And he's coming for one reason. He wants to make you a klepto. And who's that? The devil don't make you do nothing. He whispers it. And you go for it. Come on. Ephesians chapter 5. Help me here, Holy Spirit. I want to go through this quickly. How many know what I'm talking about? I'm hungry. How many are hungry? You know, I'm hungry for more God. I don't know about you, but I go without eating every Sunday morning. It's called fasting. How many know what fasting is? That's why I got this physique I have. As much as I eat, I should be 500 pounds. Donuts, candies. I love sweets. They didn't put me in the hospital, by the way. What put me in the hospital a couple times this past several years, it was stress levels. Coming over from my last location to this location, I let it get to me. I let the lie take me. Come on. and I let God speak to me, and I let God do what's best for me. Hello, somebody. When I was sitting there and getting embarrassed while I'm in the hospital, only to realize there's stress. And how many times have we said this? Lord, I'm too blessed to be. Help me here, Jesus. Stress did it. I didn't have blockage because of bad eating. I had blockage because of stress levels. Come on, help me here. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to know this is good. This is good because I don't care how long you are in Christ. We mess up. Come on. We mess up. Hello. In fact, this message just had to teach me something in the last several weeks here. Because, you know, God is so good. We say it, right? We're so good that sometimes we miss that, the goodness of God. But Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to read something. We're here. Well, we're going to read something because some of us do not get this yet. And we're going to go to, and I'm staying in the King James Version. And now I want you to hear this. Say, I need to hear this. See, I don't put it into somebody else. That's the problem. We always got the blame game. It's always somebody else's fault. And I want to know, why are you looking at them and God's looking at you? Stop looking at anyone. I don't care if it's your spouse, your children, your neighbors, your co-workers, your bosses. Stop looking that way because God's looking at you, not them. You're the child of God. You're the royal status there. Come on, help me here, somebody. You're the one to be walking in the favors of God. Hello, somebody. You're the one that's supposed to be blessed as you're coming in and blessed as you're going out. Blessed going up, blessed as you're going down. You're the blessed one. Say amen, somebody. But you cannot be a blessed one if you're a beggar. You can't be a blessed one if you're the borrower. Oh, help me. I thank God that somebody's car just got paid off 2 years prior. Thank you, Jesus. Doesn't mean you go get another car now, because that's what we do. Been there, done that. Hello. I'm thankful today that my cars are paid for. I don't have to strout. The only thing I'm angry is about car insurance and house insurance and church insurance. Right? You know what our church insurance is a year? Anybody know what we got to pay here? In fact, I just lowered it again. We just had to pay $11,000 for the year. But I found one now, church ordained. I know this is God. Church only, they cover. It's called the Brotherhood Insurance. Brotherhood, say amen. And that blood man of God, he's a former pastor for 20 years in Thailand. We got a great relationship going on. He's got an office in Redlands. Say amen. Text me for Easter. You know, I've never got anything from my insurance companies. Hello? And he helped me, and we got through. We went through the process, and we're going to get it for $9,600. Come on. Well, it's no big deal. It's 11-something. That's, you know what? That's going to help me pay for the sub panel. Oh, you guys. You need help. I'll pray for you. But look at this, Ephesians. Why are we talking to this? Because we got to know between the difference of the thieves and why. We're going to break it down, how they became the thief. Because we don't understand. We're going to be talking about something you don't want to hear. Time management. How many know that God's timing is not your timing? How many know you are in God's timing? The problem is you're not in God's timing the way he would have you to be because we have caused interference. We have caused delay. We have caused blockage to the things of God that God would have us to receive because we keep looking at the wrong ways of life. We got to look at God's life. Come on, say amen. Oh, you're not here. Verse number 14, chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, King James Version. Wherefore, who's he? God. He's saying something, and this is not even my text scripture, but we're leading it. Awake, hello, thou that sleepeth, and arise from the dead. Look what he calls you, dead, and Christ shall give you light. How many know you're the light of the world? How many of you understand what God is trying to say? Awake, thou that sleepeth. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to no one but you and I, called the church. He's not waking up the world. The world has had all its opportunities ever since they crucified the Christ. Ever since they crucified our Savior. Ever since they put him in that grave. They stopped seeing after that point that he's not in the grave. And he's not on the cross. How many know he's not on that cross? That's why I don't have him on the cross here. He's not there no more. Come on, say amen. He rose from the dead. Hello, he's not going to come back for that cross. He's coming back for you and your cross. Come on, say amen. He's redeeming it. Okay. Wherefore, he says, one more time, 14, awake, wake up, church. Because you're sleeping. What? Well, we're going to get to there. Give me a moment and arise. Get up and get up. Let's get going. Arise from that deadness that you walk in and let Christ, and he shall and will give you light. What does light do? Let you see where you're going. What does it mean? You're no longer in darkness. How many are confused today in our world? Because confusion is not from God. I'm not confused. I get upset. Stop looking at the news. Ask my wife. Don't look. Don't read none of that stuff that your phone sends you. Don't even believe everything you're reading on TikTok or hearing on TikTok, excuse me, or what you're seeing on Instagram and all that other stuff. Facebook. If you want to do anything, let's face the book. Come on, call the Bible. Because that is what's going to sustain us to the end. That is only going to be the only thing sustainable to the end. Heaven and earth shall pass away. That means everything you see is going to pass away. But my word. Church, I learned it a long time ago. That Bible, and I got so many Bibles and writings. And I talk to God what he's talking to me. Because he's reading me every day. I said, God, I thought I changed. I thought I changed. What? What? 45 years later, what? What's wrong with me? And it's not that nothing is wrong with me. He says, I keep maturing you. Because when I call you home, you're going to be as I am. That's what the Bible says. You're going to be like he is. And what's he like? You'll know. Come on. I'm telling you right now, he's not like us right now. Because some of us, like I said, right? My wife can cause a uproar in my heart. I didn't say that. How did you get that meaning out of that statement? And all she said was what I just said, but she turned it on me. How many know that? That's a good way the devil does it, right? He turns it back on you. Amen. But it's really just you. Because the Bible says, be slow to speak. I should have said nothing. I shouldn't. I practice that all the time. Don't say it. Don't say it. Come on. Why? Because I'm awake. Why? Because I'm in the light. I am the light. Come on. And then he goes on verse number 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. But you know, it's funny that the word of God tells us, don't call nobody no fool, but God tells us, don't walk like a fool. Fool. Hey, fool. You ever said, hey, fool, I'm not a fool. You know, you call me a fool, those are fighting words. Where I come from? Huh. Your mama. More fighting words, right? Right? Those are fighting words. And so circumspectly, I got to walk. I'm not a fool. But I am, because it says, I'm a fool of Christ. Corinthians tells us, 1 Corinthians, I'm a fool for Christ. Right? And I love the foolishness of God because it's crazy. He's crazy. I serve a crazy God. I'm telling you, you get to know this God. He's crazy. He's awesome. He's humorous, but he's right on key. And it's again, verse, right? Again, 15, 5 of Ephesians. See then that you, say I, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How many of you are supposed to walk as wisdom, in wisdom? How many know you're supposed to be the proverb of the day? God wakes you up. He woke you all up today. You're the proverb of today. You're the wisdom of God in this world today. You're the wisdom of God in your neighborhoods. Come on your positions, in the market. Hello, somebody. You are the proverb. Why? Because he tells you. And he's going to get after us even more so because this is what we're coming after. Verse number 16. This is the text of this writing this morning. Redeeming. How many know what redeeming means? Hello, help me here, somebody. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. How many know we're in an evil day? We're fulfilling and we're walking. And I'm talking about the church, not the world. The church, say the church. And who's the church? I'm talking about us. We're not careful. We're walking as a reprobate person. We're believing good is bad. We're believing bad is good. Well, that's sometimes talk. You know, that's dope. I go, no, it's not dope. It's good. Hello? I mean, know what I'm saying? All these slang words we use today. What happened to her? I thought I had bad English. You fools have it. Nope. There it comes. Here comes your mama back at me. Oh, Jesus, stop me from going any further because I got a mouth. The wisdom of God comes out. It's going to start coming out. You're in trouble. I will cut you. Say amen, somebody. Because the word of God is cutting. Because it's a sword. I'm going to bring out. You guys didn't realize when I said I'm going to bring out my knife. I'm going to bring out the sword. That's why I put it. I'll pull this out on you. I'm not afraid. Come on. You don't take a good knife to a gunfight, but I said, I do. There's people that came up purposely in this world, in the Christian world in America. They came up to shoot the pastor, and they shot at the pastor, and nothing came out. Why? Because he preached the truth. Why? Because he gave counsel that was wise. Say wise. Why? Because we're Proverbs. You're a proverb. You're in the Bible. Solomon's writing is you. Come on, say amen. But what you need to understand is redeeming the time. Say redeeming the time. And you know what it really means? To make wise. Make wise. Come on, help me here. And understand to make it and use it wisely. Use what? Time. You have 24 hours. 8 of those, some of us needed to go to work because that's what they give us. Some are working 10 days an hour for you can get the extra day off. But the extra day off is not really an extra time day off of time. It's just to catch up with what you lost out already. And we're still trying to catch up. Come on with things. How many know what I'm talking about? You've got to be over here. Now this gets behind. Oh, now that you're going to go back over here, that's getting behind. How many know and hear what I'm saying this morning? But God's word is speaking to us about what's accomplishments is your time has already been settled and set. And God is calling us to stop wasting time because it's a commodity that you and I cannot buy. You can buy a lot of things. I don't care how much money you have. You cannot buy time. And God's coming after that because it belongs to Him. The earth, right, is of and everything in it. That includes time. But, you know, He's coming after us because we don't understand redeeming. Redeeming the time means to make wise and to make it a great time of use. Don't waste it. That's the actual Greek word there. Do not waste it, but be wise in it. Time is cut short. Jesus said it. I'm cutting the time for my elect's sake because you won't make it if I don't. And right now, He's still right. He's cut it short. So every day has to be cut shorter and shorter because we're not going to make it. Why? Because understand the 10 virgin that that He's given us to read and study. That's the church. And we're going to go in there. We're going to get deeper into this because biblically wasting time is viewed there. It's in the scriptures about wasteful time. How many know that? That's there. We don't want to hear it because it's my time. No, it's my dime. It's my time. Oh, we don't have telephones with a dime no more. So we can't say that. But we can say it's my time. How many have ever said, you got time? I'm going to say no, because I know what I'm about to hear. Cut your story short if you got to give a story. Get to the punchline. Come on, say it, man. Stop trying to justify who you did and who you were and what it is and how it was and how it began. And now we're here because, just tell me why, because time is short. Redeeming the time, it's evil. We don't have a lot of time. We have to make wise decisions daily. Say amen. How many know that? Sunday comes every other week. No, it comes every week. Not every other week. Not every other month. It comes every month. And God's designed that you come to His house every week. He's designed that, designated that. It's in His word. Gathered together for one purpose. We put a midweek service. Why? Because people can't make it as they think they can. It's wasteful time. No, it's not wasting time. We're here but because you need a refueling. You need a refreshing. And I can show you those that don't come, that what happens throughout the week. Their potty mouth shows up. Hello? Their anger shows up. Come on. Their ways really are proven. Why? Because, and you're wondering why things keep going the way they're going. It's because you don't know time. God called you into His time. He's the only one who can stop. And I've had to say, Lord, stop the time, please, because we need to get done. Come on, church. And I've watched Him. He slows it down. But it's still the same time. It's still moving. Hello, church. And it's rude. You know what is actually rude biblically? Wasting time is viewed as a failure of stewardship. And how many know God has called us stewardship? All of you are involved in stewardship when it comes to it. You know, when you came to Christ and you accepted Him, you were purchased at that moment. He purchased you with the blood of Jesus. Thank God for that purchasing availability, because we cannot do it, but Jesus did it. Now we belong to Him. You're mine, the Lord says. You're mine. I bought you. Don't you know that you don't belong to yourself? Paraphrasing His word. Don't you know you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Come on, church. We got to get to in line, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Time is wasted when life is spent on barren pursuit or selfish, sinful desires rather than purposeful living. We have done this to ourselves. So who's the thief now when it comes to time? That's why Jesus said, the thief is coming. It's you. You're going to interfere. And you don't realize what you're doing to yourself. It's coming to kill you. And kill doesn't mean that, as you would see it, yeah, it does in our views of our language. It means that you will never reach the place where God has you to be, because it's going to die. Why? Because you, say I, church is open. Come on. It's open. Monday nights we come to prayer. We've been praying for years and years and years and years and years. Come on. Am I right, John? When you first met us, were we in prayer? Did we have Monday night prayers when you came in? Were you invited to come even though you just started? Come on. And now you're 22 years later. Are we still having prayer? In fact, better yet, he leads the prayer. Him and my wife. Say amen. I just join with them. I'm in my heavenly language agreeing with them and just praying the Lord. Come on. Who said amen? Who said amen? Oh, the conga player right there. You know she plays the conga? Amen. You see her go crazy up there sometimes, right? But we don't understand that. The way the Lord looks at it, see the Lord. I'm not, I told you it's going to hurt, be hurtful. I don't care if you have steel-toed shoes. Time management, God accepts when it's not wasteful. And He'll stretch your time out when necessary. He's not going to ask you for 10 hours and cut you a free day. What He's going to ask that you accomplish what I've given you. What He's going to tell you on that one day is that I called you into your purpose and fulfilled you. Come on, say amen. And wasteful timing, this is how it's going to be, because the thief comes. Say the thief comes. Because how many know that we are to be good stewards? We're called to stewardship. We're called in to be exactly what God has called us. And when you fulfill that designed area, He designs you. Many people will look at you different because the way you govern yourself. Hello? I've never seen so many sad looks as I see in the church world today. I see them leave the church. Not only this church. Churches, people are everywhere. I got my neighbors are church people. Come on, they're pastors. And I have to constantly be encouraging them. How is that? How is this? We're not in the same religion. We are Christianity, but he's in a base denomination, and I'm a non-denomination. Why am I got to, you know, I'm saying, Lord, I'm here for him. He's here for me. I love him. Don't get me wrong. I love the man. I'll preach here. I'll bring him here. I'll sit with them. Come on, say amen. We're grass buddies. We always meet when it's grass time. Not smoking. Come on, get your minds right. Come on, say amen. Come on, I'm not talking in the 60s. You got some grass, man. Dave's not home. Come on, Cheech. You're a Chong. Amen. I'm not ignorant. Meaning every time we do the lawns, that's when we get to talk to each other. Talk to each other. Come on. Been them neighbors 21 years and never been in his house. Amen. Not about, I want to see your house. I don't care. Come on, help me here, Jesus. I'm talking about stewardship. I'll stop what I'm doing. Even if I'm walking out and he's doing the grass like it has been the last few weeks because he doesn't see me. He's concerned. He's wondering what's happening with brother. He calls me brother out. We call each other brothers out of respect because we're brothers, right? Out of respect, he's a pastor in front of people and he'll call me pastor in other people. But when we're together, we're brothers, man. Come on, say amen. He's my older brother. He's a little older than me. And it's the little brother's job to encourage the older brother. Should be the other way around. But it happens like that. Come on. We're getting the time. But stewardship of time. I'll stop doing what's necessary. And my wife knows. When we're about to do something and I go outside and I don't come back in, she's going to go look for me. Not because I'm dead out there somewhere. She's going to go look and see, is the neighbor out? Because we're going to talk. Come on. He's iron. He really's got a lot of word. I'm a sharpen myself as I give. Come on, church. Stewardship, because I know I'm on a time schedule, but God's hold it up. No, you're not here. But you can't tell God hold it up if he's saying, who are you? You're over there on that Broadway, living the vida loca, coming to my house every other week, coming to my house once a week, but don't even know who I am. You don't even spend time with me. You read my word. No, I'm reading you. I'm giving you my word. Hello, come on, help me here. And how many understand that? We are called today in this structure, going to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, this structure of redeeming the time. I got to hurry up. Come on. I got to hurry up. Chapter 10, help me here, Jesus. Come on, Holy Ghost. Are you here?
Yes.
Chapter 10, right? Chapter 10, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because we are here purposely right now. We have been set purposely in the accomplishments of God. We are his accomplishments that he's desiring that it gets fulfilled. But on verse number 31 of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians. I said it three times. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, four times. It's recorded. It's recorded and it's on the camera, so I'm going to watch how you guys are responding. You know, I look at your camera, I can see what you're looking at. I draw it near, I go, get off those girly sights there, somebody. And everybody knows who I'm talking about except the person. But I love them. Come on, say amen. Verse number 31, wherefore, this is what you got to understand about redeeming the time. Understanding about what we're involved with in the moments, the time we're involved of redemption, of understanding stewardship, understanding about time, because what we are and who we are is right here on verse 31. Wherefore, whatever you eat or whatever you drink, whatever you do, do it all to what? What? Watch this. All things are here to be giving and living to the glory of God. So everything you do is either going to be glorifying God or glorifying you. We're not here to glorify ourselves. We're here to glorify him. I know we all want to be seen. We all want to be heard. I meet so many people. I want to be this. I want to do this for the Lord. I want to do this in the Lord. I just talked to one that yesterday that drives by and stops outside every day. Every day he stops outside because he believes this is going to be his church. And I said, oh, you're telling me this. And he sat here a couple of times. Come on, come here. So I would talk with him, you know. Got a little emotional. I said, yeah, because you're before the cross and you're in my cross. This is my cross. Come on. Yeah, sure. Maybe one day you'll be able to buy it from us and we can go buy a bigger place. Who knows? Come on. But until then, I think the word of God that you heard is a little confused Because I believe that God will send you here that you can learn. Because you have no idea what it takes to own a church. It's different than owning a business. Come on, I've been in business. It's totally different. Come on. Because ain't nobody going to give you money if they don't like what you're doing or what your cause is. You know, you got to believe God. Come on. You got to believe God for it to come in. Hello. You know, but what we got to realize that to the glory of God, and this is what the ultimate measure of time usage is. Are you here? The ultimate time of usage is whether or an action or including work or rest is giving God the glory. No, you didn't catch that. The ultimate measure of time usage is whether an action, including work or not, is giving God the glory. And I'm going to boast about this man, and he hates that I do that. But nobody does and gives me time like Minister John does. And he doesn't charge me. Come on. Everything he's done for our ministry for the last 20 years, is, I mean, he's learned so much because of it. The man can build his own house now. But everything he does is to the glory of God. And nobody ever asks, do you need help? Has anybody asked you need help? Very rare, right? Very rare, right? They come up. You okay? It's all I want to know. You okay? I leave them alone because it's going to be done right. And I'm here if you need me. Come on, help me here. Come on, you're not hearing me because what he does is for the glory of God. It looks messy at first, but don't look at the beginning. Look at the end because when it's done, it is done. Come on, help me here, somebody, because we got to understand about God being the glory. God receiving the glory. And that's coming in your time. Because everything you do, whether you're at home, on the job, or at church, God has to be getting the glory. Because we're doing it unto him. I'm here for his glory's sake, that he be glorified. I'm here that I represent because, number one, I want to be a good servant. I'm in his time. And we hold midweek service, and Minister John is a teacher right now. I don't have to be here. But I'm here because I want to hear what the teacher has taught. Because I'm going to hear through him. Come on, say amen. And I'm here, right? Because it's my heart. It's my time. It's only one extra hour. When I was in the world, there was no such thing, time management. Who cares? God saved, and now all of a sudden I'm fragile about time. God saved, and all of a sudden time is so important. But it's not God's time, it's my time. Oh, God, I've never had 10 hours of sleep. Why do I need it now? Biblically speaking, you don't want to follow Jesus because he's going to keep waking you up. Come on. Because he has time schedules. And it better be used for the glory of God when he says wake up. It better be. Not for our use, but for his sake. How many agree? So the ultimate measure of time usage is whether an action, including work or rest, is giving him glory. Time. Because this message is about wasting time. Hello, somebody. Are you here with me? I want to tell you that there's three things I want to talk about as I begin to close you now. I want to talk to you about a foolish approach. Say a foolish approach. Foolish approach. I haven't said a word. I haven't said no Bible. I'm saying I'm going to teach you something on the foolish approach of time. Come on. I may do two or three. I'm going to probably have to continue because there's so much more that I have to give you that I don't think you can attain it all. The foolish approach is recognizing time, the valve of time, instead of killing or wasting it. That's the foolish approach. Because you're not watching it. You're not caring. You don't care. And I'm not worrying about that because there's a replacement for the foolish time. It's called the wise approach. Say the wise approach. And the wise approach comes from the book of Psalms. Say Psalms. How many like the book of Psalms? And some of you, I love Psalms that we're going to read right now, but I love that one and the one after more so. And I love all the Psalms. How many know what I'm saying? I'm a fanatic, I told you. I only got one team. Go Rams. What? I'm the head. Go Rams. That's okay. God is the head of the Rams. I got a ram's horn. Hello? Before Israel went to war, blow the ram's horns that you could have victory. I want victory. I'm sorry, church. See, you guys, see your problem is? You don't have humor, and God's humorous. I'm having fun. Because I know there's 1,000 kinds of teams out there, and none of them do me any good. Why do I get crazy and yell and scream at a television when they can't hear me? That's how foolish we are, fools. Amen? Oh, you see, you need some help. All of you need time if you put football more than God. Come on. If you're giving your sport more time and more money than you give to God, you are exactly what God calls foolish wasting. Come on, say amen. See, I told you it's going to be hurtful just a little bit. But Psalms chapter 90. This is what's called. We're coming away from the foolishness, right? And which is a foolish approach. We're going to come into the wise approach. What is the wise approach to what we're talking about, church? We're talking about time. Some of you are looking at time because you're foolish. You have set your Sunday items, knowing that God wants to do things, but he can't because we don't let him. You don't want the presence of God like you think you do because you have no idea when God moves like you want him to move. He's not going to go on your time schedules. He's not going to go on the way you limit the things of God in time. Hello, church. You want me to do an 8 o'clock service? I'll do an 8 o'clock service because you want to spend more time on your Sunday doing what you want to do. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go that route. 8? No. Give you one at 11, too. I'm not going to do that because you don't want to get up at 8. You'll get up for work. You'll say, my only day is sleep. God don't care. He's the one that says 6 days and then one day of rest, but you better come to my house. You better read your book because we can do all things through Christ. See, you don't know that. You only know it when you perceive that it's time for it and it's time for that every day. I can do everything I need to do today. Say amen. I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to study early. I'm going to read early. I'm going to do what needs to be done to be attentive to hear what you're saying, God, that I can deliver because this message is for me. And you know why I know? Because I got caught in it. I don't make vows that come from like the way of the world. New Year's, you make New Year's what? I don't do that. What I do is search out my new year, what I need to do that last year needed assistance with. And this year I said, God, especially when time came and retirement came for the preschool, I said, you know what, God, that means we're free now. Anybody can come here. We don't have to be live scanned. We don't have to be walking on eggshells because, you know, I love the children. Don't get me wrong, but we're a church. And church is a hospital. Sick people come to the hospital. Come on. There ain't nobody perfect here. We all have flaws. Amen. We all have sickness and disease. We got to battle. We have life. We got to battle. This is a hospital. Come on. Where we receive what's necessary from Almighty God. But to get all everything that's needful from Almighty God, we have fulfillment in the church. That's why prayer has to be in the church. Talking about a building, we need to be in here praying. So I said to myself, like I've always done in the past, and I still do today, I said, I'm going to do Tuesdays and Thursdays. God, I'm going to come and spend at least an hour and a half, just you and me and my spouse. I put music on. You're all invited to come. If you want to come join me, but don't talk to me. I'm not here to counsel you. I'm not here to do any of that. I'm here to go spend time with my Father. And I'm going to have some music play, and I'm going to be crying out to God. And you may not like what I'm saying, because sometimes it's you I'm talking about. I seek the Holy Ghost after all of you. I already did this morning for those in absence. Come on. Why? Because they have a thief that they don't know, right? A thief. And who's the thief? Themselves. No, you don't like what I'm saying, but I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that because I know when I get to heaven and they get to heaven and because they made it to whatever tragedy may have come today or whatever they face, or obstacle that may have come, and they made it through, they're going to say, well, that man prayed for you. Because I know there are people praying for me that I can make today. I don't have to know them. Say amen. But watch this. Watch this on Psalm 90. Come on. The wise approach. Verse number 12. This is personal. And if you don't make God personal, you're not going to know Him personally. You see, when people tell me, and I watch things, you know, it's all good. You know, the Ten Commandments, I go, that's not God. I'm not judging God's word. I'm judging that that's false. Hello? When I'm watching programs, no, that's not God. Oh, The Chosen, it's not God. It sounds good. It looks good. Feels good. No, it doesn't feel good. It's not right. The story of David, that didn't happen. That's not how it went. Why? Because I study. Come on. And if I can't figure it out, and I'm not using AI, honestly, I'll call Rabbi because I need to know the Jewish perspective of 4,000 years of study. You got the scrolls. Rabbi, he calls me son. I said, I'm almost your age, bro. But I let him, right? Because he's my senior. He's got me in a couple years. Okay, that's fine, God. I respect that. He calls me son. And I'll ask question, Ribby, this doesn't make sense, what I'm reading, what I've heard, what I've been taught before. And he brings the perspectives out. That's because 2,000 years said this, but 4,000 years, this is the way it was and is. See the difference? It's maturity. Say amen. So right here, this is for us. Say us. I'm going to close you with this one and one more scripture possibly. I don't know, but we got to go. Say amen. I hope you're getting something out of this. I hope you're happy. Then clap your hands. Come on. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not scared. And here's the psalmist, the man that had to be on the run in his calling. Sometimes we have to be running in our calling. Why? Because they hate us. Why? Because we can do more than they do, better than they do, stronger than they do. It doesn't mean we have numbers. David and his clan with 600 defeated those with thousands. So I don't need thousands. I just need those that are believing, following, denying. They've picked up their own cross. That's all I look. When I'm ready to go to war, just give me those that picked up the cross. That's all I need. Give me 1, 2, 3. I don't care. We're going to win with those that follow. I can't go to battle with those that don't know. This is why, if you know stories, the stories of Gideon, he went from 30,000 to 300. 30,000 to 300 warriors. Why? Because God's going to get the glory. If he would have won with 30,000, we did it, Lord. But with 300 against 30,000, you did it, God. Because there's no way in God's green earth we should have won this battle. And I say that there's no way we should be in this building. No way, no how. But we are here. So God gets the glory. Come on, say amen. He makes the payments. He provides for all these projects. And he even feeds you, gives you free coffee. We don't have a jar out there for tips, and we should for those that keep buying us the donuts. How many know? I didn't buy those donuts. Somebody keeps buying them for us. Yeah. They don't want to be known. They don't ask to be recognized. Come on. But how many know what a dozen donuts costs a day? Hello? Huh? Costing you sugar diabetes, that's for sure. That's what clogs your arteries. But I love them. Come on. And I don't have diabetes. By the way, I always take one to my office because once I'm done here, the fast is over. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. And then in the car, I'm hungry. Come on. Help me here, Jesus. Verse 12. He's talking to us. Say yes. Come on. King James Version is almost identical to the New King James Version. It says, so what's it say? Teach who? Put your name in there. Say me. To number our days. People, tomorrow's not promised. Plan for 1,000 years, but live for this only today. Because we may not make it to tomorrow. Hello, I've buried too many people. We have out there, there's death looking for us. It wants us not to succeed. He wants us to waste our time. I have to continue because there's more I got to give you on this. But I'm going to close with this, and I'll start with Matthew chapter 16 next week. How many know what I'm talking about? because we have to understand about time. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of Proverbs. Your Proverbs. A heart that is wise. Hello. But you're not going to get that in bad management of your time. You're not. He said, let me tell you, I'm using him. Why? Because I have no one as like this one here. For us. Say for us. Because I asked, before him was my brother. Before him, we had another brother that did electrical. He met them. He replaced those. Come on. Come on. Why? But I know that if the day ever comes, because you better get the car. I got to send you out, bro. It's time. Hello, church. You've got a lot in you. It's time that you just run with what God gave you. Come on. But I know at that time, he has one already set up. Who's going to do all this? Are you here, church? Why? Because we're sacrificing time. And there's no such thing as a sacrifice of your time that won't be rewarded in his time. Come on. Because God wants us to be what? The head, not the tail this morning. He wants you to walk out in your royalty status, even though you're broke. Because you don't need money for what God gives you. Come on. He'll tell somebody to bless you. And one day you'll be the blesser. Because God called you to be the blesser. God called you to be the blessing. And then one day you'll be the blessed one. Come on, what people walking up to you. Hello, somebody. But that doesn't come overnight. That comes with understanding about what God has called us to be. In purpose of time and closing in this story. I love stories. How many know we have stories? Come on, say amen. How many know we love stories? Where we began on the welfare system that we hated because we had to give up our beautiful job assignments of the world. And started walking the walk, talking the talk, believing God, taking us off that system into a job, then wanting a different job because it paid better. And that was the biggest mistake about being paid better without realizing the time that it's going to rob me from. And that I'd learned from that moment to the next moment, to the next moment, to the next moment, because God continued to bless us. As he continued to bless us, I fell into a trap. I did it again. I don't care how close you are to God, we mess up. What is that? I made a commitment to be on Thursdays, right? Tuesdays and Thursdays, right? My last 2 weeks have failed me because we've been so busy fixing the building C, doing the landscaping, and everything that came for the last week. I had to run in here for 15 minutes while my wife is finishing up her project. I said, I'm going to go in the church. She's going to go pray? I said, yeah, I need to. So my hour and a half is now 15 minutes. Why? Because I let time be wasted. Why? Because I let projects be more concerned. Why? Because I was doing it for the reason, his glory. But when it comes to his glory doesn't come when they rob you from him. Spending that time, say amen. Come on, say amen. Come on, say amen. Oh, glory to God. Stand to your feet.